Well, it is a Thursday. Time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Just another dull week revolving around KU athletics, Brian, right?
Man, another day, another interesting story, no doubt.
Which one do you? You know what? I will let you decide which one you want to talk about first. Do you want to talk about the offensive coordinator being fired at KU after six games for the football team, or do you want to start with late night in the fog? It's your choice.
Well, I think we have to phrase them a little bit differently. We're going to talk about the promotion of our analyst turned, you know, breakout new OC mastermind, right? Coach Bierman?
Yes.
that's the way we'll phrase that one,
okay,
right?
Okay, sure.
And then late night in the fog, of course, you're referring to how good Ochai and David McCormick looked, right?
Oh, absolutely, sure.
From freshman to sophomore year.
Right.
Now, I know what you're getting at, and obviously, Friday nights with all the pageantry and hoopla of tipping off another exciting basketball season for KU women and men, that was overshadowed by the performance that followed, and there's been a lot that's come of that since, starting with an apology that night, from our athletics director, Jeff Long, and then just a lot of national attention that came that way that obviously KU did not want any part of when they scheduled the act. And it was regrettable that, things ended up going the way they did based on what KU's expectation was and what actually came to fruition with the performance. Disappointing that some of the lyrics were not the radio edit that they thought they were getting, and obviously some of the props were not at all what they would have condoned. And yet, that there need to be measures, obviously, to make sure you see that ahead of time. And so I don't think anybody at KU was running from that. And it was Jeff Long coming out on Friday night, accepting responsibility for that. But disappointing to see, a situation where the performer kind of goes off on his own path. And say what you want to say about you hired Snoop, you're going to get Snoop and all that. There were understandings in place that, certain content would not be a part of it. And ultimately, those were not fulfilled. And so disappointing all the way around. But as I said, there were other parts of the evening that were certainly bright spots. And I think for the intent of the evening to put on a great show in terms of Kansas basketball, the tradition, the history, the fan engagement was 16,300 because you're trying to impress those dozen or so recruits that are sitting behind the bench. All that was, as it always has been, a great success and a great impression made. Would it lead to the commitments they're hoping to get? We'll find out. But I think it was a fruitful evening and weekend in that regard. It was just overshadowed by obviously the content of the concert. But obviously the following day we go out, and I love the game plan for a quarter versus Oklahoma. In kind of taking the air out of the ball, huddling up a lot, letting the play clock get inside of 10 before you break huddle, let it get inside of 2 before you take the snap, keep Jalen Hurts on the other sideline, really slow things down and shorten the game. And obviously Kansas had a 7-0 lead for a little bit in that contest, 7-7 at the end of one. Ultimately, though, we saw the offense go into one of those doldrums that has plagued this team throughout the first 6 weeks of the season. There have certainly been exceptions, like the Boston College game where they rattled off 7 consecutive scoring drives, but there have been a lot of other examples, like Coastal Carolina, where they score on the first drive of the game and they don't score the rest of the way. And in this case, we score midway through the first and don't score again until the fourth. TCU didn't score at all until halfway through the fourth. And so those types of stretches of 2 and 3 quarters without scoring, obviously going to get you every single time. And for Kansas, they've been searching for an offensive identity for quite a while, and it's looked different each week. And part of that, you could chalk up to game planning for each specific opponent, having something different for each team. But I think there was a curiosity after the BC game when everything looked so good with all the run-pass option looks that they threw at the Eagles to see more of that going forward. And we have seen some, but not exclusively that. And I think there was, changes made week to week to try to get Puka the ball in space, try to get it into the hands of playmakers, but it was not working with consistency, and it wasn't anything that had a whole lot of continuity either, at least of Les Miles a ton of credit. I mean, this is a coach that has won 144 games for a reason. He knows that while he has his principles of how he wants to win football games, if something isn't working, you can't just let that hole in the bottom of the ship get the whole thing to capsize. You patch it up midstream. You try to keep the boat afloat. You do what you have to do to turn things around in the moment. And I kind of liken it to a basketball coach, and we've had two really good ones for the last, well, beyond Roy and Bill, but I think Larry Brown was good about it, too, of you know, if something's not working, you scrap the game plan, throw a zone at them, do something different defensively, throw a junk defense out there, try and turn the tide in game. Don't be so set in your way that you're oblivious to the fact that this ain't working, man. And I think that was Les Miles midseason with Wes Kinnick, you know, and it's unfortunate, but keep in mind the sequence of events that led to this. That the guy that they really wanted to lead their offense, first yes that Les Miles got in recruiting, was Chip Lindsey, who was then hired away by Troy because he's such a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, did they rebound as well from that departure as they would have liked? Obviously, things didn't work out with Coach Kinnick. They thought at the time, based on his track record and resume, it could work. It didn't. Sometimes it doesn't. But I think when you are adamant about forcing a square peg in a round hole to the point of, you know, costing yourself more games, more time, more progress, that's when you're doubling down on your mistake. But when a coach is, you know, cognizant of something not working and acts swiftly and decisively to try to switch course and change stream and direction, I respect those types of coaches. And that was the case here with the move to Coach Dierman. We're really excited about what he'll bring. I'll tell you what, every single player in that offensive meeting room was really enthused. And it's not about anything against Coach Kinnick. It's just there's a real enthusiasm about what Coach Dierman brings, both from a schematic and football mind standpoint and from just a leadership and the way it relates to the player standpoint. So we're pumped. We look forward to seeing what it looks like in Austin here in another week. And I think this would be the ideal time to do it, don't you, Wade, when
yeah.
you get a bye week. You got 14 days between games to try to make those changes. I love the fact that they acted as swiftly as they did.
Yeah, this is the time to do it, as you said, because of the bye week. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Help me figure this out, because I'm a little bit confused, and maybe I'm getting bad information from what I'm reading. But what I've heard even after the Boston College game, and then I've heard since then, and then I heard as soon as Les Kinnick was relieved of his duties and Brent Dierman became the new offensive coordinator, was the great game offensively that KU had at Boston College, as you mentioned, scored on seven consecutive drives. Brent Dierman had his fingerprints all over that. Okay, so here's where I'm confused. If he had his fingerprints all over that and they had so much success, why wasn't his fingerprints all over the offensive game plan since then? And it, or maybe it has been, and there's not really a big difference between the two coaches, or there was a problem in regards to it was, I just don't understand how, if his fingerprints were all over it, Boston College, why wouldn't his fingerprints still be on it the game after that and the game after that? And now he's the offensive coordinator. It seems like it's one way or the other. Either he suddenly wasn't allowed to have his fingerprints all over the offensive game plan after having so much success, or he still had his fingerprints on the game plan last few weeks, and changing OCs might not be that big of a difference. You see where I'm conflicted and confused?
Yeah, totally. And honestly, without being in that offensive coach's room,
sure,
I couldn't tell you, you know, how much input
right.
he's had. As I told you on previous reports, it's kind of been a collaboration from what I can gather, uh-huh. just based on hearing Coach Miles. And again, we don't talk to the other coordinators and assistants from a media standpoint. It's just Coach Miles. But, you know, from what I've been able to gather, there's just been a lot of input. I mean, Emmett Jones, our receivers coach, he's the one that called the trick play that they had on a two-point conversion way back at the start of the season in non-con play. And obviously Coach Dierman's hands were all over the BC RPO developments that we saw in week three. There haven't been as much of that since then. And why that is, I don't know. But I get the sense that, as I alluded to earlier, you know, based on an individual opponent, they tweak game plans to give themselves what they thought were the best advantages within that given matchup, but as opposed to just becoming an exclusive RPO team and running that nonstop, because each week comes with unique challenges, so on and so forth. But there's different philosophies on that. I mean, there's the thinking of, well, let's just do what we do and worry about what we do and do it as well as we possibly can. Get really good at it to the point where, you know, they have to worry about us as opposed to trying to tweak certain things based on the different defensive fronts you're expecting to see or the different strengths of a given defense. And so I don't know how to answer your question in terms of how much say or input, how much hands were on the wheel of Brent Bierman the last few weeks. But it certainly looked different, not just in the completion of drives being way down, but the way in which they went about it. I will say this. I thought there was more creativity in the play calling versus Oklahoma, and it's something that in a brief conversation off the record, off the air that I had with, you know, a previous OC, Les Kenning, heading into the OU game, I just asked him, hey, are we going to do some more creative stuff to try and get Puka the ball on the edge? And I think we saw that because lining up and handing the ball off to even the most dynamic running back in college football is not a great strategy when there's eight guys in the box staring back at him. And there weren't every time, but we saw that become a pretty common occurrence with defenses stacking the box against the KU run game. And I thought they did a better job in week six of doing creative pre-snap, not just formations, but pre-snap movements to get him the ball on the edge. And so it's not like at that point they were just, you know, banging their head against the wall trying to do the same thing. There were changes, but they didn't sustain the type of success consistently that, you know, obviously you want them to. And to call it like it is, this kind of reared its ugly head when you're in the middle of playing a three-game stretch against probably the three toughest defenses you're going to face all year, talent and personnel-wise, TCU, Oklahoma, and Texas. And so it's kind of the perfect storm, but my hope to answer your question, you know, just in trying to guess at this, not having had the chance to talk to Coach Bierman yet, and he will meet with the media later today, so maybe we'll have more insight then. But my hope is that they will have more continuity and a greater consistent identity going forward. And even if it is still a collaboration in the film room week to week or in the coaches' meetings week to week, at least there's a little bit more of this is what we're going to be going forward type thing. And so I think, again, you have to apply Coach Miles for trying to shake something up and not letting that sinking ship just, you know, sink all the way to the bottom of the ocean by not patching the hole. They're trying to do things, and I like that, because if this does work out, and it's still a big if, but if it does work out, you've now accomplished something in the last 6 weeks of the season that gives you momentum heading into year two, which is really that springboard year to begin with. And we talked about this year hopefully winning four games, and I still have that aspiration and hope for this team. I still think that they can and will. But we really thought all along, you know, this program's going to make its rise after another full recruiting class and after a full year in the system and all that. If they could head into the offseason, even losing Carter Stanley at quarterback since he's going to graduate, but head in saying, wow, things really clicked in the second half. You really made some headway offensively. This is the type of scheme we're going to run. This is the type of kicking we're going to return to. It just puts you in a much better situation going forward. And so that's the hope. And like I said, I'm really eager later today at 1 o'clock to hear more from Coach Bierman. But, you know, the resume speaks for itself, and what he did at Bethel University, what they were doing in yardage and scoring per game at 55 a contest. And then just, I think the best thing I can tell you, not having been around him a ton based on our access, but being around our players, our guys have been fired up about him for a while. And you could tell after the BC game, there were things Carter Stanley wanted to say, you know, very excited things, but he didn't want it to come across as you know, throwing shade at anybody else or not, you know, praising the pecking order of which coach, you know, should be thought of first when mentioning offensive success. He would be asked very pointed questions about Coach Bierman by Jesse Newell and other writers, and he would kind of pause because he didn't want to say too much, but you could see that sparkle in his eye that he was really excited. And keep in mind, this is a similar offensive scheme to what he ran in high school. It's what he knows the best. It's what he's most comfortable at. And so I think he's been hoping all along to have a more consistent approach with that. But he's not alone. Every single guy in that locker room on the offensive side has certainly had an extra skip in their step this week, and that has to lead to something good, you would think, when everybody is really enthused and working that much harder, excited about the direction things are headed.
KU with a bye this weekend. They'll be at Texas next Saturday. We'll preview that matchup with Brian next Thursday. Time for the off-the-wall question for you, Brian. So Oklahoma and Kansas this past weekend, there was a weather delay, and the game was postponed, not postponed, but pushed back about half an hour. Did you see the picture? It became a huge thing and went viral of the woman who I still don't know if she's a KU or Oklahoma fan that was sitting alone in the bleachers crocheting. Did you see this?
Yeah, it was a caption. College football is electric or something like that.
I have to admit, that was funny no matter where this picture was taken. So my question to you, she's known now as the Crochet Lady. She doesn't have a first name, apparently. It's Crochet. So my off-the-wall question for you, and who would have ever thunk that I would ask you a question like this? But Brian Haney, have you ever crocheted or knitted anything in your life?
We had that class with like yarn and I don't even know how I would describe like the burlap side of a sack that you were cross stitching into like when I was like in third grade. Uh-huh. And true story, I'm in my home office this morning doing this interview, and I still have, my mom got this frame for me, this like 9-inch by 9-inch patch of that burlap sack fabric that I cross-stitched a Jayhawk into at the age of probably 10.
Nice.
And I got to tell you, I haven't seen a lot of cross-stitched Jayhawks done by 10-year-olds, but I would like to think this is in the upper echelon of 10-year-old cross-stitching. I wish I could send you a picture. I can only describe it, but I'm pleased with my handiwork from 29 years ago, and while it didn't ultimately lead to a career in cross-stitching, at least the passion for Kansas sports was evident at that age, and that's probably where I peaked as a cross-stitcher.
Yeah.
Anything that's come up since then, you know, whether I've had a button fall off my pants or whatever, I've had the significant other take care of it. But, yeah, that's probably my high water mark. And as far as was she a Jayhawk or was she a Sooner, I think her outfit looked kind of crimson and creamish.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That doesn't make up for the fact that it was an empty section around her.
No.
But I think it was an OU fan that was really cross-stitching, if I had to guess.
Apparently she was really, really getting, and she was going to be glued to the field the whole game. I mean, why would you bring your crochet items and supplies to crochet at a game? Why would you have that in your backpack or purse or whatever? But whatever, I would have to ask the crochet lady since I don't know her real name. But if you find out what her real name is, love to have her on the show, and she could tell me how to appropriately crochet. That would be tremendous radio, I'm sure.
We'll get right on that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, high on the list.
Nothing else to worry about. Yeah, move that to the top of the list. Hey, as always, enjoy it. Enjoy the week off from a football game, and we'll talk to you next Thursday, Brian.
I'm going to send you a picture of my handiwork here. I don't know if you can put it up when you post the podcast or whatever, but keep in mind, I was like 9 or 10, probably 9. I'm now like backtracking on how good this was. It's adequate for a 9-year-old.
We're not going to try to hold you too high of a standard, and luckily you had a different calling, all right?
Exactly.
And I haven't even seen it, and I'm thankful. I shouldn't do that. I should look at it first and then go, maybe Brian missed his calling. Maybe I have this all backwards.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, have your kids take a peek at it. They have a more appropriate eye.
Knowing Miller, as you and I know him as,
yes,
he will probably look at it and have no idea what he's looking at.
Probably so. I hope he can read it. It says, Kansas Jayhawks, go Hawks. And this is all with like yarn. So hopefully he can look at it legibly. But yeah, I'll send this to you right now.
I look forward to it. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
You too, pal. Take
all
care.
Right, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Each and every Thursday, brought to you by good friends over at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.